Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You just listened to our national anthem. The age of freedom has come. But it's something that has to be won. It ain't going to just fall into your lap now, but you can be free. It's time. You can be free. Okay? I like to do an assertion right quick. As I walk the path of being honest and good, I will keep my mind focused on reaping what you sow. By doing this, I'll be walking the path of your light, and I will get what I want, okay? Our slogan is, love is an action that governs your good. The one aim and one destiny as children of God. Okay? Now, in the first 5 minutes, we normally talk about love. That is love is so important. We talk about love, we speak about love a lot, because until we literally learn how to love each other, we're not going to get out of this mess that we're in. when something goes wrong, everybody jumps out there, want to be a part of it, you know. But what about preventive medicine, preventive medication? You know, why don't we do things to prevent all this, these tragedies and the stuff that's been going on? And I think the only way to prevent it is to promote love. We had a young lady that was running for president on a platform of love. She didn't quite make it. I don't know if it was just her or what was going on, but I think the Democratic Party already had Biden in mind to be the forerunner against Trump. So they kind of picked these guys in advance. And most of the people who are running for president, they haven't had a chance to meet the queen. Most times they don't actually win the presidency because she's still sort of like running through things through the Bilderberg Group and the Trilateral Commission, you know. What does it have to do with love? Boy, oh boy, oh boy, we get off the subject right quick, can't we? There's so much going on politically out there. But like I say, love is the act that makes others feel good. There's physical acts and there's mental acts, and we have to focus on both acts. A lot of times we'll be dealing with the mental and we forget about the physical, you know. When you do things, you have to think in terms of, and physically, what am I making? What am I doing? What am I giving this person, you know? And how is this going to make them feel better based on what I do, how I do it, you know? I like certain things on television, so I program the program machine for all my shows. So when my partner come in, you know, she's got to flip to the channels, or he's got to flip to the channels to actually find his shows, but all of yours program them. Why don't you just program both things in so that when they come in, they can hit their little button and get their program, hit your little button and get your program. This is what I'm saying. These are physical acts, all right? And if I eat a certain thing every day, well, that's a physical act showing you what I like. Or don't bring something in that you like, think that I like it because you like it. No, it don't work that way. We're dealing with physical acts, okay? If I work all day and I come home, okay? Now, what am I coming home to? What am I coming home for? What am I bringing to the family? See, it doesn't need to make them feel good when I come home. Me just coming home might not be enough. It might need to add a little more into that, you know. To show them that you think about them, to show them that you have them on your mind every day. And it's a day-to-day operation. It's not a once-a-week thing or once-a-month thing. It's a day-to-day operation. Love is a day-to-day operation. A lot of people don't know that. But it's something that you do on a daily basis. The guy said, well, I go to work and bring home the money and pay all the bills. Ain't that showing love? Yes, that's showing love, but you got to remember you live there too, you know. So when you're paying the bills, you're not only paying it for your family, but you're paying it for you as well. You have to single out some individual things that you can do for the family members, for your children, you know. This is one of the big things that we're talking about today when we get into economics. We're going to get into that tribalism thing today because it's so important. But love is an act that makes others feel good. Now, why do we say that it makes others feel good? Because if somebody else feeling good, it should make you feel good as well. You know, you come home to all smiles and, hey, what's up? How you doing? How are you? That should make you feel good. And they're giving you these accolades because of what you do for them to make them feel good, you know? And if you're 100% focused on making them feel good, okay, and they're 100% focused on making you feel good, you'll be in a feel-good relationship. Now, after you be together for a while, this is when you're in groups and things of that nature, when you have a relationship, after you be together for a while, you learn the things that piss them off, and you learn the things that make them feel good. Sometimes we think that making a person jealous to see if, oh, I don't know if he really loves me or not, you know. Oh, I don't know if she really loves me or not, if she don't get jealous about nothing. You don't want to go there, because when you make a person jealous, you're bringing up negative emotions in that person. And you cause them to do things that they would not normally do because they're getting jealous, okay? And the heart remembers these little things because the heart gives off hormones. And when those hormones kick in, you know, it's not a very good thing, you know. And another thing, too, when you're first getting into a relationship, a friend of mine, remember he said something to me. He said a lot of times when you first enter into a relationship, you have to convince the other person that you're not that guy that they just broke up with, or you're not that girl they just broke up with. I thought that was kind of interesting. Because we do go through that. Now, I just got out of a bad relationship, and I don't want nobody else like this person. And so you're screening to make sure that you're not going from the frying pan to the fire, you know. So you have to be mindful of what you're doing, how love is, what love is, and what's going on, you know. You have to be mindful of your every act, 24 hours a day. You have to be mindful of what you say, 24 hours a day. Believe it or not, if you're in a relationship, how you sleep, you know, affects the other person, you know. I have one of my family members, he has sleep apnea, you know, where he has to have certain things to wake him up, stuff like that, you know. And so they definitely have to have separate rooms or separate beds because his sleeping affects the partner, you know. So everything that's going on 24 hours a day actually affects the other person. The cologne you wear, how often you wash up, you know. We're supposed to wash 3 times a day. Supposed to, because every 8 hours the bacteria builds up in the system, builds up on your skin, you know. So we're supposed to wash every 3 hours, but... we do the shower in the morning and shower before we go to bed. And that seems to work in most cases, you know. So you definitely need a deodorant, special types of deodorant or oils and stuff like that there, you know. And it doesn't help to give your partner a little rub down every now and then with some oil and stuff, you know, give them a little treat, you know. That's what I'm saying. You have to think about little things that will add to what you're doing that would make them feel good. Now, you, some people are kind of lazy and want to go through all that, you know, but it will really help your relationship when you're going through, when you're taking that specific time to think about something to do special just for them, and it actually works, okay? All right, so there's our 5 minutes into love. Now, let's get into the topic. The topic for today is economics. I like economics because, you know, we really need to talk about why people are staying broke, why we don't have no money. We're following the system. There's following the system, and then there's following the system, okay? Now, you can follow the system and be a victim, you know? Most of us in this system are actually victims. And it's kind of interesting because, now, what is a victim? A victim is a person that's being taken advantage of without their knowing it. I added that stuff in there. Without their knowing it, you know. To be a victim, most people knowingly won't let themselves be victims. You follow what I'm saying? Most people knowingly lose money or stuff like that there. You know, they don't allow themselves to become a victim unless they have another agenda in mind or checking on the trust of a person, stuff like that. There is different reason why a person who knows what a victim is allow themselves to be victimized, okay? But you don't want to, once you realize what a victim is, right? And once you realize you're being victimized, right? Now, there's things that you do to gain money, or if you're getting money to get money, you know, you go to work, you know. Now, based on, this is a class system, so based on what's going on, you can be locked out of certain jobs. I don't care what your qualifications are, because the class system is designed, we're dealing with families here, we're dealing with tribalism. Although they don't want you to know that, that's what keeps you as a victim. You follow what I'm saying? Let's start at the beginning with this economics thing. I know I do this every time with your economics, but We're doing a full show on economics today. All right, so I'm going to go through the whole economics thing. And I'm realizing now that my children and grandchildren, right, are actually starting to call into the show. I'm seeing numbers pop up from the little ones, which means that I'm going to have to sort of taper the show a little bit because this show deals with a high consciousness. Most of the people that call in have a pretty high conscious understanding of what's going on. That's why I'm able to address some of the topics that I do the way I do because of the conscious level of the people that are calling in, all right? But now that we have the youngsters calling in and checking the show out, especially my grandchildren, your grandpa, what's going on? Since they're checking in, I want to, we're going to, starting next week, maybe not this week, we're going to do things just a little bit different to bring them more into what's going on, find out what's on their minds, you know. We're going to be doing a testimonial every week before we start the show. And the testimonial is just, what do you do? What, well, the testimonial is, we're just going to ask you, you know, I'm just going to put the question on the board every time before the show starts, you know. What do you have to be thankful for, okay? And so that's what we're going to be doing every Sunday when the show starts. We want to know what you have to be thankful for. And if you have something in your life to be thankful for, just hit one. And when you dial, you can let us know what you have to be thankful for. Now, what I have to be thankful for today, I'm on this side of the dirt. At my age, that's almost enough to be thankful for. But all my children are doing well. Children are graduating from college. Grandchildren starting to graduate from college. Yeah, I'm getting up there. When you talk about grandchildren graduating from college. And the children, my daughters, my grandchildren and my daughters that haven't been to school, they dropped a lot of babies. And I am so grateful for that because we need those babies, you know. Some women, that's their lot in life, just to extend the tribe, you know, make them babies. And you can be proud of us, of the children. They have decided to go that route, have decided to have to bring those babies in. Because you never know what's coming out of these females. That grandchild might be the one to take over and run your company, run your business, might help in so many ways. So so I have a lot to be grateful for. And right now, this between me and the grandchildren is like 34. We just had some new babies pop in. So it's 34, and that's a pretty good number. That's by the time all of them grow up and pop children for the tribe, it's just expanding and expanding and expanding, and all that's good, you know. So I'm really grateful for my daughters, my grandchildren, the ones that have decided not to go to school and decided to have the babies. I'm just as proud of you as the one that's being doctors and lawyers and everything else. Now, don't get me wrong. We need those doctors and lawyers. I got one daughter that's going to be a doctor, and she's got two children. So you can do both if you want to, all right? Now, so that's my testimonial for today. So if you have a testimonial, if you want to give some type of testimony as to what you have to be grateful for, just hit one. I'll open up your mic, and you can talk, okay? Now, let's deal strictly with economics. Economics is somebody else working and paying you. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. If you don't have somebody working and paying you money, you do not have economics. If you have to be there, okay, to make this thing work, then you don't have economics. What you have is a job, right? You should have a system set up, or thinking in terms of setting up a system where you don't have to be there at all. You can spend half your months in on the summer parts of the country, and half your months in the winter part of the country, whatever you want to do. You can travel, go all over the world, whatever you want to do. That's when you have economics going on, okay? You don't actually have to be there. You have people in your place. You have managers and all these kind of people to take care of your business for you, where you don't actually have to be there. This is where you're trying to go. You want to be able to create work for people, so that you don't have to do the work yourself. Now you're moving towards true economics. You follow what I'm saying? Somebody working and paying you. Now, why is economics so good for the government? The government talk about jobs, jobs, jobs. We need jobs. We ain't promoting jobs. You got to remember, the government collects taxes. So when the people work, they're paying taxes. So there's somebody working and paying government. That's why jobs so fall in the economic category for the government. That's why the president worried about the jobs. Who's working? Who's paying? Because if they're not working, they're not paying taxes. And the government need the taxes, you know, the money they're spending on the military so that people don't come take their stuff back that we done stole from them. Well, that's a whole nother story. We'll go there right now. But jobs is somebody working to pay the government. That's why they're so interested in jobs. Now, what can a job do for you? Oh, man, I'm just getting out of high school. Ain't got no money. I need a little job here. But I got Cadillac dreams and Volkswagen money. How do I change this around? Well, there's a simple methodology that we talk about every time we talk about economics. We talk about the 50% budget. What's so important about a 50% budget? When you first get started, that's when the 50% budget is most important. Because you base your entire economic structure, how you live, the cars you drive, the food you eat, everything that you're doing, based on half of your income. And if you can literally save half your income, I'm talking to family members now, and they said 50%, I can't even save 2%. So I'm talking to them now, trying to get them at least thinking about the 50% budget, you know? If you can literally save half of what you're making, okay, you'll never be broke. You'll never go hungry, you know, because you'll be stacking these thousands of dollars, you know. Now you have to kind of invest this money. Once you get on the 50% budget, especially when you come out of high school, it's for the little ones. So even when you're an adult right now, if you're living beyond your means, that means you can't save 50% of your money. You're living beyond your means. If you're living beyond your means, then what you have to do is stop expanding. Stop buying stuff, you know. You have enough stuff. Don't buy no more name brand nothing, you know. If you buy the name brand stuff, you look at it, it was made in some little cheap country for $10, and you're paying $125 for it because somebody didn't put their name on it, you know. So what you need to do is just stop buying so much stuff. Buy what you need, you know. I was watching a movie, Mr. Tibbs, I think it was. He was a school teacher. And he only had 3 shirts. He used to wash his shirts out every other night and wear them to school, saving money. You know, he didn't buy a whole bunch of clothes and stuff because not that he couldn't afford it. He's a school teacher. He's making money. He could have splurged a little bit. But in order to save the money, he was teaching it to his students how to be more frugal, how to save more money. You know what I mean? So, and then you got people buying the children. You're buying name brand stuff with holes in the jeans. I mean, right? You're literally going to the store buying raggedy clothes, paying money for it. It's beyond me why they're doing that, but they're following fashion. They're following the peers. And this is not something that you want to do either. My son come in here with a T-shirt on that he paid $20 for, right? And it's got the name of his company on it. He owns his own company. He's got the name of his company on it. But it's got splash stuff all over the T-shirt like it looks dirty. Why would you buy a T-shirt that looks like it needs to be washed? I'm saying to myself, they put stuff on television, and, you know, you just go for it. You just buy the stuff because it's the style, it's the brand, you know. And what most children don't realize is that every 20 years, they bring back the same stuff. They don't be really changing the styles. They just be re-giving you what we've already had. Now, old-timers know that when they come out with bell bottoms, oh, boy, I remember those as a kid. When they come out with knickerbockers, oh, boy, I remember those as a child. But they keep coming out with the same things. Revisited right now, they're into the knickerbocker type of mode, you know, where the clothes are real tight. Even guys are wearing tight clothes and all that kind of stuff. But we've been through that too, you know. It's called Speedy Ox or something like that. I remember all the terms back in the day. But they're not giving you anything new. They're just rehashing what you've already had. So what you need to do, if you're not up to the 50% budget, take a trip to the thrift store. You know what I mean? If you want good thrift store clothes, go into the more affluent neighborhoods. And their thrift stores, they got some pretty good stuff in their thrift stores, you know. Buy the jeans. Cut the jeans up yourself. You know, pay $50 for a pair of $5 jeans that you can go home, cut them up, and dye them out yourself, you know. You have to start thinking in terms of how to literally save this money, you know. You know, don't. But if you're working, got your little job, don't be trying to buy the Starbucks coffee. You know, take your little coffee mug with you, paper bag it. You know, make lunch bags or whatever you have to do to cut back on spending some of this money. So until you get to where you're actually saving 50% of your income, and then when you make more, cut that in half as well. You know what I mean? Save 50% of that. Keep the 50% budget in your mind until you're living the way you want to live off half your income. All right? Now, once you start stacking this money, what do you do with this money? Now, if you work two jobs, all right? Now, if you do it where you get 2 days off on each job, so if you work two jobs, you do get 2 days off on each job. So with that, you only have to do a double shift 3 days a week. And you can do that. I've done it for years. So you can do that. You don't get no actual days off. But 4 days out of the week, you're only working one shift. All right? 3 days, you have to pull a double. But you're working the two jobs, you know. You had to do this for a couple of years. Do this for a couple of years. This gives you, like, you stack about $20,000 up, right? Because you're living off one job and you're saving the money from the other job. So they give you, like, most jobs pay $10,000 a year. The worst jobs, the least money-making jobs pay $10, at least about $10,000 a year. So if you're working two jobs, do that for 2 years, that gives you $20,000. I have property that I have bought for $5,000, and they have them all over the city. In every city, they have these properties. Sometimes you can get them, you can buy them directly from the owner, you know, that's trying to just get out from under the property because of the taxes and all that stuff. And sometimes they have the sheriff sale. Sign up for sheriff sale on foreclosures. That's the best way to obtain property right now. Well, foreclosure and sheriff sale. That's the best way to get property. Well, owner selling your property, that's a good way to get property too. So those are three ways. Owner sell, but the owner can become the bank. Owner can take back a mortgage for you if you don't have credit and all that kind of stuff. But I'm saying, I don't care what nobody said. Remember, cash is king, you know? Cash is king. And as long as you have cash, you can literally pretty much get what you want, you know, as long as you have cash around. Credit, you can't always get what you want because they can deny you credit even if you have good credit. They can block your credit application for something because of where you live at. They might be redlining a particular district or something like that there. So they'll block you with the credit if you need credit to buy this certain thing, you know. But if you're coming in with cash, you know, if you want to buy some property, probably costs maybe $40,000, $50,000. You got that kind of money set up. You don't need credit. Just go ahead and buy it, you know. So that's what I'm saying. Cash is king. And regardless of what they're telling you, cash is king, you know. Gold is king, too, because a lot of times the dollar fluctuates a little bit. But the gold fluctuates too, but not that much. You know, gold constantly goes up. So you should always have some type of gold around, you know, maybe a couple of bars, two or three bars at least, in case everything hit the fan. And like in the 20s, when everything hit the fan, people couldn't get the money out of the bank. It was only giving out 10% because, you know, we're on the fiat currency. So if you're on the, since the banks are on the fiat currency, if something happens to the money, you're only going to get 10% of your money out of the bank because basically that's all they keep, okay? And those of you who don't know anything about the fiat currency, maybe Google it and study a little bit about it, okay? Now, now, this is how you build yourself up. You have to think in terms of the 50% budget. That 50% budget is the key. Well, where did you get this idea from the 50% budget from, Brother Elohim? That's what he asked me. I told them to send the Bible. That's why I like the Bible so much, because you know how to read it. And those of you who are Bible thumpers, remember the story of Joseph when his brothers was jealous of him because his father treated him a certain way. Well, it's the same story in Genesis, but we don't go through all that. But they threw him in a hole, and he wound up in Egypt, and he came to the grand vizier of Egypt. Okay, that's the guy to handle the money, the finances. And he told him when Egypt was in trouble, he told him, look, for 7 years, then use half the crop, and for 7 years, save half the crop. That's the 50% budget. It's in there, although the ministers aren't teaching it like that, but it's in there. And that's what saved Kemet or Egypt, the 50% spending model. That's what saves Kemet, and it will save you too. Yeah, it will save you too if you get on the 50% budget, you know, start stacking that money. Now, remember, most wars, they're used religion as an excuse, so they come up with all kinds of excuses, but mostly what they want is the land. They want to take over the land. That's the key to wealth. Land is the key to wealth. Land, acquisition, land. That's the key to wealth. I'm talking about real wealth. You know, if you own a country, you're going to get paid, you know. We're talking about going into the trillions of dollars. It's hard to get into the trillions, but I own some type of real estate, all right? So what you need to focus on is once you start stacking that money through the 50% budget, you need to focus on purchasing your real estate. Now, I'm not talking about going through getting a mortgage. Mortgage is you don't really need mortgages, okay? Mortgage is not the good way to go because it's tough. You know, it's tough keeping that mortgage every day when you have a job. So if you save your money and you go in, sell foreclosure, and you purchase the property cash up, or you purchase the property cash up from an owner, right? Once you do that, then you'll have you won't have that constant 30-year mortgage on you. Now, very few people can go 30 years on a job paying that mortgage every month. It's tricky. And the banks know that. That's why they make so much money out of these neighborhoods, because they can flush you out of neighborhood just by raising the taxes to the point that it kicks your budget out of whack. You know where I'm coming from? And to have some kind of decent home now, you got to spend $1,400, $1,500 a month to get some type of decent property to live in through the mortgage system, the way they set things up right now. Okay? So you want to stay away from the mortgage as much as possible. Purchase your property cash up. That's the best thing to do. And you can get some pretty good deals if you got cash in hand. I'm telling you, you can get some really, really good deals if you got cash in hand. Think in terms of foreclosure and sure sale. That's your best bet. Now, the first property that you buy, I suggest it be a three-story property where you can rent two floors out and live in a basement. That's for the children coming out of high school. Okay, buy your three-story property on sure sale. You can funk the first floor and basement out. That's just like having a two-story property. You know what I mean? When you do it like that, and then you can rent the top two floors out. Now you have somebody working and paying you rent. See what I'm saying? Now you have somebody working and paying you. Now you have economics. And what does it cost you to live in your house? Absolutely nothing, because the rental people on the other two floors are paying for everything. Now, it's nice to funk the place out so you can get a nice little rental fee, but the object of the whole thing is that you don't want to pay out of your pocket to live. You want the money to come out of somebody else's pocket. That's the mindset. Hey, what can I tell you? This is where we live at. Okay, so if you have some type, that's what we call residual income. Once you buy the property and fix it up and get the people in there, you don't have to buy that property again to keep making money. That's what we call residual income. All right, and if you got residual income coming in, now you got to think, how much money do I want to live off? Well, in order to figure out how much money you need to live off, you got to figure out how you want to live. You want that three-car garage? You want that Mercedes in the driveway? You know, all that costs money. So you got to figure out what that's going to cost me each month to have that tennis court, that basketball court out there, the swimming pool in the back. Once you figure out how much that's going to cost you each month, then you know how much you have to make in order to live like that. So you know how many properties you have to buy in order to live like that. But first you have to decide, how do you want to live? Once you decide how you want to live, then that will determine how much real estate income that you're going to actually need, all right? And that's the best way to figure it out. You know, that's why I tell the children when they're in school, I'm saying, well, how do you want to live? What kind of house you want? Well, I want this and I want that. Well, you need to go further than high school if you're going to get that, you know? Because if you go all the way through college, right? And when you come out of college, we're still not guaranteed a real job, but you'll get more than a $10 an hour on a job. So a lot of times you can run this system off of one job instead of two jobs. That's better for you. If you once you come out of college, you're making $30,000 to $40,000 a year, right? You can live off $20,000 and save $20,000. So you don't have to work the two jobs. You don't have to kill yourself. That's all I'm saying, to make it happen. A lot of children don't have the money to go to college. So that's what the 50% budget will do for them. Once they come out of high school, they go right into working the two jobs. They go to high school for a couple of years, buy their first property. That will give them enough to start paying for the college tuitions and stuff. So you can go to college off this budget. It might take you a little longer to get there, but you can get there without coming out of college being $100,000+ in debt. Okay, they say debt is good, but well, debt is good if you're what they call it, venture capital. See, if somebody's giving you venture capital, well, you got plenty of money, but somebody else going to give you their money to pay for this adventure that you're going on, then you get venture capital. Oh, then you can go into debt. If it don't work out, let them have whatever it's trying to do to pay for the loan you got for them. But, you know, that's the only way you would go into debt. If you're venturing into something that's going to bring you a whole lot of money, then you can search for venture capital so that you don't have to risk your money. You follow what I'm saying? When I was giving shows at the Spectrum and different places like that, you know, I didn't use my money. Okay, I had people to come in to invest in the show, like when we were doing Wooden Schoolie B and some of the other rappers like that, you know. We use other people's money. I didn't use my money, okay? I got people that wanted to invest in the show. They were excited about me bringing in different people, Teddy Pendergrass and people like that. They didn't get excited about that. So they would put up money to bring these guys in because they think it's a guaranteed income, you know, which basically, depending on who you bring it in, and how you advertise on a show, it's pretty much guaranteed, you know. If you bring LaBelle, I don't know who the artists are today, but if you bring in somebody that's have a pretty good name, you're guaranteed to sell a certain amount of tickets. And so, like, if you bring in Beyonce, you don't have to put up no money. So you got people that will put up every dime if you're going to bring in Beyonce because they know they're going to come out to see Beyonce. You follow what I'm saying? So that's what we call venture capital. So if you're going to go into debt, let it be for ventures or something that you're trying to do to make a lot of money. Like, let's say you're trying to buy a complex, okay, that maybe that's worth $5-6 million, you know, and you're trying to buy the whole complex, then you can get venture capital for that, you know. So that's what I'm saying. So there's it depends on what you're thinking, what's on your mind, and where you're trying to go. All right. Now, the world is out there for you. Everything is open for you if you're ready to go out there step by step. Now, you have to work hard. Now, we're talking about, you got drug money out there, all kinds of distractions, okay? But the illegal money is not the real money. There's more money legally than it is illegally. So you don't need the drugs and all that kind of stuff. You don't need that to actually get paid out there. because eventually that becomes a trap. That becomes a noose around your neck that they can use to pull you down or use to control what you're doing and what you have, okay? So I suggest you stay away from the illegal money and focus on the legal money, because there's so much legal money out there that it will actually blow your mind, okay? Now, let's shift this a little bit to another topic here, you know. We're still talking about economics, but my next question on the board is, what is the difference between poverty and being poor? Okay, so now a poor person, all right, can pay their bills, can eat, feed their family, right? That's a poor person, see? So as long as you're able to do that, like if you're making $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 a year, you can eat, pay your family, you can eat and feed yourself, as long as you don't try to buy a Cadillac because you only got Volkswagen money, all right? So as long as you stick with the Volkswagens and the cheaper stuff, you can feed your family and take care of stuff, all right? But when you're poverty stricken, you can't do these things. You'd be sleeping in the street trying to figure out, you know, how to live. You're living from maybe from hotel to hotel. You're bouncing, just trying to make ends meet. That's a poverty-stricken person, all right? Now, why does the leadership system need citizens who are poverty-stricken? Why do they need that? This is a leadership-based system here. So why do we need poverty-stricken people? All leadership-based systems need a military. Where do you think the military is coming from? The rich folks ain't hardly jumping up trying to join no army. You know what I mean? The rich folks, they have excuses, like they have spurs or something that can do on their feet, but they don't have to join the army. But when you're poor, I don't have nothing. You growing up with a family that barely make it ends meet, you know, that's barely buy a few potatoes to eat with, you know, they still out there like that. Joining the service is like great, you know, you get 3 meals a day, they pay you, you know, they just close, man. All you got to do is say, two, yes, sir, and you can have stuff, you know, you can buy bonds and things like that there. If you're poverty stricken, the military is a big step up. It's a huge step. This is why all leadership based systems need poverty stricken citizens. And if they don't have any, they will make some poverty stricken citizens. If you watch some old Chinese movies, when they were running the empires and things like that, oh boy, I did it again. I went right on through the commercial. This topic of economics is kind of exciting for me because I like to help people clear their minds so that they can get paid, you know. Well, I'm going to switch off here, and I'm going to run a commercial, but it's going to be very quick, so I'm going to run through this commercial pretty fast. Let me see here if I can pull it up. Those of you, right, this is Elohim Speaks. We're here every Sunday, okay? The number to call in is 516-453-9230. I keep giving that number out wrong. I don't know what's the matter with me. If you want to talk, just press 1 on your dial, and you can make a comment or a statement, and we'll open up your mic, and we'll listen to whatever you have to say. Now, just remember, we're not going to debate your statements, you know, whatever statement you make, that's it. That's your statement. That's what it is, okay? And you can judge yourself on your statement. And if anybody likes your statement or whatever, they'll make a comment about the statement. But we're not going to argue with you about what you're saying, you know. We would like to get your opinion, but we're not going to debate opinions here because everybody got a different opinion. We spend the whole show just debating about one dog on thing. So we keep it moving like that, okay? We use the last 4 digits of the phone number, okay? Now, today we're actually talking about economics today. So I'm going through everything pretty fast. So I have a CD on the market, 911 Jesus Emergency. You can go to CD Baby. cdbaby.com/cd/Elohim Christ 2, and it'll come up, okay? So you can check out my CD. I've just released a new meditation CD. You can listen to it. It will activate your pineal gland, pituitary gland, and your kundalini. You want those three things activated, working in conjunction with each other. If you don't know what they are, just Google it up, and you can find out what they are. And it will actually, the tones that are in this music will cause your body to begin to heal itself through your meridian. Those of you who don't know what a meridian is, it attacks all your major organs and all that. Google it. Google our body meridian, and you can learn a little bit more about your body, okay? Also, you got different chakras that this tone will affect, okay? You got your seven major chakras, but you have thousands of chakras on a molecular level. That's a whole other conscious level. We won't talk about that too much, but that's what the CD is all about. It's for meditation and help you meditate, okay? And we did do a show on meditation, but that's a whole nother show, okay? let's see here. Let's keep this going here. And don't forget to check out my book, Tyrannical Scriptures Part 2, A Crisis Comes. That's on the market right now. You can go to Amazon and pick that up. The call-in number for information about my books is 215-758-1703. That's from 9 to 5, okay? Also, I'm in the Carrier Box business. You can call the same number, 215-758-1703. Or you can email me at lchristlie@gmail.com, okay? You can also, you know, if I'm going too fast, just stop me and I'll go back over anything that you want slowly so you can write it down or whatever, okay? But you got my number, so you can call me and get the information. okay. I would like to give a shout-out to Horace Butler for his books, When Rocks Cry Out. He's a historian, and I think it's a book that you need to read, okay? I'd like to give a shout-out to Legacy of a Nation, hosted by Brother Mac. And his show comes on at 6 p.m. Eastern. They talk about Black history, health, economics, politics. The calling number is 319-527-6199. I'd like to give a shout out to Sister Tammy. She's on YouTube under the name Kimitra 11, so go check her out. Also, I'd like to give a shout out to Nikki Loud. She's a spiritual advisor. Just call her with this number, 909-749-8626. Now, remember, you can always go to Blog Talk Radio and pull these shows up. You can listen to these shows again as many times as you want, and it don't cost you anything, okay? All the shows are recorded. So you can look through the shows, you can download the shows if you want, play them again and again. There's about 150 shows on here right now. And we also did a segment with Brother Will I Am, so he's got about 15 to 20 shows on here as well. We talk about the Drake cons and a lot of stuff that we don't normally talk about on this show. But he went at it pretty good, okay? I'd like to give a shout out to Division 121. 1918, 1921 around the world. They meet every week. For more information, call Mark P. at UNA 267-822-2370. That's an organization that's filed by Marcus Garvey. Then we got UAIA. They're offering land to build in Africa. That's RBG Industries. And they close in buttons and things of that nature. Give them a call at 609-638-5828, okay? You got Save More Electronics, pretty good electronic company. They do good work. They've done some work for me. The call in number is 215-909-3352 from 9 to 5. Like I said, if you want more information, just call my number. It's 215-758-1703, and I will give you more information on all the stuff that I'm giving out to you now. If you need a job, you call a security company at 336-988-8635. He's looking for workers. So if you're interested in some type of security work, you can do that. I'd like to give a shout out to Tom Thornton, who writes under the name of T. Thornton. Okay, he's got about six or seven songs on YouTube. He just dropped another one. He just told me last week he just dropped another song. So you just Google YouTube Heaven 2019 T. Thornton for more information. Just call 267-259-4077, okay? I'd like to give a shout out to Taylor Talk Learning Academy. She's a licensed nurse, registered to be a doctor, And she has a telepath school, so just give her a call, 610-638-8352. And the learning and the way she teaches children, absolutely amazing. You need to check her out, okay? And I wanted to give a shout-out to our residential naturopathic healers. We got Dr. Paul. He's at 215-779-7355. He's offering a free food chart for those who are trying to be healthy. Then we got Dr. Bill. His number is 631-561-3864. Okay? So you don't want to be, if you want to stay healthy, just get these guys a call and they'll help you out. They'll keep you on a healthy basis, okay? Now, oh my goodness, we're down to the last 10 minutes of the show, and we talked for a whole hour. It's unbelievable. But it's okay, because we're dealing with the numbers. There's still so much. I might have to do this again. There's so much I want to talk about through this hour, because we're talking about what is family and why do they make tribalism a bad thing? Why don't we work toward our tribes? I'm just going to go through this right quick. A family is the economic structure that you have to take care of your tribe, right? Now, if you watch The Godfather, the guy comes in and says, Michael Corleone, I want to have my own family. This guy's married with two kids. He's married with two children. So what family he talking about? He's talking about an economic structure to take care of his tribe that he has started, okay? That's what he's talking about. And why do they vilify tribalism? Think about that for a minute, especially old-timers out there. You, your children, your brothers, your sisters, their children, children's children. Can you imagine if you were all working together for a single purpose with a single mind, your entire tribe and its diaspora? Okay, we're talking about a statewide group. Okay, we're talking about not statewide, we're talking about a national group. If you hooked up your whole tribe was in tune with each other. This is why I don't want you getting back into tribalism and its diaspora. You follow what I'm saying? See, back in Africa, we had tribes large as the city of Philadelphia. This is what I'm saying. These are families large as the city of Philadelphia. That's why we were able to do so much unilaterally. That's why we were able to do so much, because we had huge tribes. And we have huge tribes today, but we don't talk to each other. We don't see each other, you know. We got a handout slimming. I get to talk and forget about everybody. wait a minute. Tonight's working on time. 1927. Good to see you here. Listen to this on the radio. We appreciate it. Mike, it's over. Do you have a comment or something you want to say to us?
Good evening, Brother Elohim. This is Brother Mac from Legacy of a Nation. I have a question that really is a comment, and the question is would the example of the Mormons be an example of tribalism, wherein they are on one accord and pool their resources, et cetera, and as a result, you could say they just about own the state of Utah.
The Mormons, and we can also talk about the Quakers.
That's exactly the question. Yes, sir.
So, and they did the same thing. I mean, see, this is why they don't want you thinking in terms of your tribe. See, they want you thinking in terms of your little family that you got, and they don't even let you know that the family is about economics. It ain't about mama, papa, baby, and brother. It's about the money that you're making to take care of your tribe. They want you thinking a certain way so that they can keep you as a victim without you knowing that you're a victim. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Right now, we're victims. but we don't know that we're victims. That's what makes the perfect, how they say, what the kind of people say, that's what makes the perfect mark. You know what I mean? So
yes,
we
sir.
Become perfect victims under the system. And we need to start thinking, that brings us to one of the other questions. We only got about 5 minutes here. Can we take it, can we use the holidays to our advantage? We're fighting the holidays, different things. Well, Easter is so-and-so with the pagan god Esther, and we got Christmas is with the pagan king who's up the forest, and they go through all the stuff of the holidays. But the holidays are a perfect excuse for you to hook up with the rest of your tribe. Send them postcards. Send them letters. Find out where they live at. Just give them a call or whatever. You know, spend some time finding out who your tribal members are, you know? And the holidays are a perfect example of how to do that. That's what they do. See what I'm saying? We don't know this. We don't know how to take advantage of the holidays and why holidays are so important. You know, Juneteenth is not a holiday, but you have Martin Luther King's birthday. That's a perfect holiday for us if we use it. But we don't use it as a holiday. The Christmas cards and the birthday cards, the economics and all of this stuff that we're not even using, you know, and we need to, you know. So, yeah, that's a perfect example of what we can do.
Well, one more comment question, Brother Elohim. I'm impressed at your suggestion that you save some money and that you can, that everybody can do it if they will live on a 50% budget. And I think the knee-jerk reaction from most of us would be, heck, I need another 50% I need an additional 50% to be comfortable. But I think you're saying, without saying it out loud, you got to start somewhere, and the way to start is to accumulate some cash. And I heard you distinctly use the term cash, and to extrapolate that cash is king. If you got cash, you can do things that you cannot do if you don't have cash. And I can relate, and I want to applaud you on your revelation.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. We have about one more minute of speak time. So if you want to say anything about the show, we got 1 minute, so you can go ahead, and then I can make my assertion and close out.
Well, I'm Brother Mac from Legacy of a Nation, and my show is every Saturday from 6 to 7 p.m., and the call-in number is 319-527-6199, and that's Legacy of a Nation. We speak on four main topics, and those topics are health, one, history, two, politics, three, and economics, four. As with Brother Elohim's show on which we are now, we are interactive, and our mission is to increase the awareness of the Aboriginal community, and we contend that the Aboriginal community is us, that we are Aborigines, that we are natives, that we are indigenous, that we, by our ancestry, have always been here. Thank you, Brother Elohim, for the opportunity, and thank you for the fantastic information that you're giving.
Oh, thank you. I have walked the path as divine energy today, and did not break the universal law of reap what you sow. All energy went out for a divine purpose, and I will reap what I have sown this day. All that I have put out, I eagerly embrace its return. So let it be written, so let it be done. This is your brother Elohim. We're signing off. We'll be here every Sunday at 8 o'clock. And the call-in number is 516-453-9230. I love you, and we'll talk again next Sunday. Peace. Or much love.
Much love. I heard that.